So hey, just you know, thank you to everybody who participated in breakfast this morning and did all the heavy lifting and baking stuff and bringing stuff and the kids with the eggs and all that. Somebody found a golden egg, didn't they? Did they get their thing? Who found the golden egg? Liam found the golden egg. Liam got the golden egg. All right, excellent, excellent. Again, just thank you to everyone who helped out participate. Many hands make for light work, and it's always fun. It's always fun. On that very first day of Easter, the resurrection day, Christ broke forth from the tomb. That event was witnessed by a number of people, and they all saw the same things, but they viewed them from very different perspectives. That's why we have different accounts of the gospel. Now, many of you know that I'm a police chaplain, and whenever a police officer wants to do an investigation, let's just say they're doing an investigation of a car crash and a car accident, they do not, I'll repeat that, they do not want all the verbiage to be the same. Because if all the verbiage is the same, you probably got a conspiracy on your hands. And the reason being, they all saw the same thing, but they saw it from a different perspective. So in a car crash, you witness a car crash. Well, somebody saw it from the car that was behind them. Well, if you're witnessing a car crash, well, somebody was on the other side of the intersection looking at the car crash. And then there was somebody standing on the sidewalk who witnessed the car crash. Then there was somebody that was walking away. They never saw anything, but they heard the crash. And then what happens is, well, they must have been texting and driving. We got to add their opinion. Well, you know, they probably were drinking. They had to be drinking and driving. They weren't paying attention. Opinions start to come in, right? And we often try to describe some things as we know them or say things as we know them, hoping that the other person might get it, you know. When I say I have nothing to wear, that means something entirely different to my wife than it does to me. Give you a minute on that one. I have nothing to wear. The events of Easter cannot be reduced to a creed or a philosophy or even a creative punchline. We are not asked to believe the doctrine of the resurrection. We are asked to meet the person raised from the dead. So here's your first slide there. See, we're going to move from belief in a doctrine and an idea and a philosophy to the knowledge of a person. Very different. This is deep faith. This is deeper faith than religion, than understanding doctrine, than getting systematic theology correct. This is understanding the person of Jesus Christ. An ultimate truth is a person. Testimonies. We met him. He is alive. We have seen him. He is alive. We have felt him. He is alive. We have experienced his presence. He is alive. The historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus is not something that is based in conjecture. It is based on eyewitness accounts from people who saw, from people who touched, from people who ate with him at a resurrection. There are many, many appearances of the demonstration of his resurrected body, his glorified body. Now, many people explain it away. They explain away what they saw. Many people see an accident and don't even want to get involved. Their witness is no comment. Many still do not understand, even still today, do not get the full picture of who this man was, who this man, listen to the word, is. who he is. So just in our short passage, I just wanted to look at the people that were involved there. There were a few people that were involved. And first was Mary. Mary saw, that's your next one, next slide. Mary saw the worst. Mary saw the worst. So are you one of those people that's kind of like the glass is half full or the glass is half empty? Really? Kind of person. Optimistic, pessimistic. Before you even walk into a situation and a circumstance, you're already, it's half full, it's half empty, whatever the circumstance comes at you, you're pessimistic, you're optimistic. Engineering minds look at a glass that's half full and just go, well, the glass is too big. Right? Some folks, they don't care at all, especially if it's a wine glass because it's refillable. That's what they see. That's what they know. It doesn't matter. Mary came to the tomb. I would not imagine that she was very hopeful or optimistic that day. She may have been in her past, but all her dreams vanished. All her expectations of what might be, what might become, lie dead in a tomb. The other gospels tell us that she was gone her way there to make final preparations of the body. She arrived at the tomb, notices the stone is rolled away, and assumes the body has been stolen. And it's easy to think that, particularly with all the controversy and the strife and the problems and everything that's going around that particular time. Given all the circumstances surrounding his death, it makes even logical sense that the body has been stolen. She makes a big assumption about what she saw. She saw the stone rolled away, and that's all it took for her to know something was wrong. She wouldn't be able to do what she came there to do. Just another hard hit to her life of struggle. Another hard hit to the things that she wanted to accomplish that she will not be able to do. Just another disappointment in her life. Another failure and a long list of bad decisions and bad assumptions. Why didn't Mary see beyond the body being gone as just being stolen? She assumes the worst. Why didn't she see the miracle of the resurrection? She didn't come looking for the supernatural. She came looking for a dead body. She wasn't looking for a miracle. She wasn't expecting God to do something amazing, not in her life. She wasn't worthy of it. Not in her life. She was not a very respectable kind of person. Not in her life. There's been too much grief, too much sadness, too much sorrow, too much pain. There's too much past in her life for God to do anything amazing. Why would she expect God to do anything? She made an assumption right out of the gate. How often do we miss the miracles of God's work because we're not looking for God? We're just not looking for him. We're not looking for him to work in powerful ways. We're not looking for him to work in surprising ways. We're not looking for him to work on our behalf. I mean, not in my life. I'm too busy. Not in my life. I'm not that religious. Not in my life. I don't pray every day. Not in my life. I've been divorced. Not in my life. I'm an ex-con. I've done time. Not in my life. I know God doesn't like me. How many times do our churches fill up with those just going through the motions of religion, never expecting God to really do anything? People fulfilling religious obligations even to make others happy. Make sure you play the right songs. Make sure you follow along in the program. Make sure you color the eggs. Make sure you enjoy a good Easter breakfast. And we miss a miracle. We miss our miracles. Don't miss the resurrection miracle because you're looking at a crucifix. He's not on the cross. Don't miss the miracle of the resurrection because you're staring in an empty tomb. He's not in there. He is alive. He is risen. He's working miracles even now. Can I get an amen on that one? We need to look for him now, for who he is now. Still at work, still saving souls, still bringing comfort, still supplying all the mercy and grace that's required in your life. See, many see the church as empty and lifeless. They see the church as routine, irrelevant, dead. They see the church as pointless, even as insignificant. Well, what do you see when you see a stone rolled away? What assumption are you going to make? Why are you here today? And what if I told you, you will find what you're looking for? Did you even come looking for something? Did you come looking for someone? Will you be disappointed when it's not what you have expected? Will you be disappointed when it's not really what you wanted? You know, they didn't really sing my favorite hymn. What a disappointing Easter. What assumptions will you make? What expectations have you come with? What baggage did you come with? Why are you here? Pessimist? Optimist? Well, you know, I comforted kids because, you know, it's going to be somebody's, I want them to get that golden egg, man. It's a good chocolate there, you know. Why are you here? Well, you know, I come once a year to please the wife, you know. Why are you here? Well, it makes my mom happy. Okay. Here's your next slide. You know, we're all going to see the same thing today, but we're going to see it from a different point of view. I pray you meet the Lord today. I pray you experience a living Savior, a risen Christ. I pray you join with others of like faith around the world, celebrating our victory. Listen, your victory over death. I pray you celebrate the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray you rejoice in your salvation and understanding what he has done for you and what he is doing for you. I pray that today you take communion as a testament of your faith and your belief in the resurrected Jesus Christ. And why do things have to be a certain way anyway? Why do they, can't they just be what God wants them to be? With complete faith and complete trust in him. Coming today, Lord, you're in charge. How about you're here because he wants you to be here? Maybe there was some divine intervention in your life that led you to this place, this moment, this time, to hear this message coming from the scriptures. Do you believe that there's divine intervention in your life? Do you believe that God is still alive and active and at work in your life? Do you believe that there's divine intervention? Are you telling me, Anna Auld, that there's divine intervention in your life? Is that what you're telling me, Esteban? There's divine intervention in your life today. That God is alive and well and moving and vibrant and working in the lives of his people. Is that what you're telling me? That there is divine intervention in your life. Divine intervention. To hear about his son. To mold your own life to becoming Christ-like. Maybe to get baptized, maybe to take communion, maybe to publicly profess your faith and not be ashamed later this afternoon to say, I went to church today and listen to the scoffers. Could it be that sometimes we get so wrapped up on our own selves, our own assumptions and our own expectations, our own worries and our own fears that we miss what God has for us? Because we have already made the assumptions. We've already had the expectations. Do you know this kind of person? The kind of person that finds 100 reasons why something's wrong. Or they find 100 reasons why, like, not to go to church, right? Just kind of that negative person. Every time you have an idea, right? This is what happens in our house. I would say, you know, Melinda, I was thinking about, and she just cocks the gun, ready to shoot it down. Well, I was thinking that maybe in church, we're like, go ahead, go ahead. You know, pull, 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 right? Now she just has a machine gun. You know, someone's like a Debbie Downer, right? Just always sees the negative side of things, just a Debbie Downer, you know. Every party needs a pooper, that's why we invited you, you know. Listen, if you kept on going in the passages of Scripture, right, Jesus talks to Mary a little bit more, right? So I want to read that to you. Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and she wept. She bent over even to look into the tomb. And then when she looked in, she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked, "Woman, why are you crying?" Her response, "They have taken my Lord," she said, "away, and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around. Look, she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him as Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Because she had a negative outlook, I think she might have missed it. Because she had bad assumptions already, I think she might have missed it. In her grief, she almost missed the miracle of God. In her sorrow, she could have overlooked what God was already doing. Because she had made her mind up based on appearances. We've got to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to learn to walk by faith, not by feelings. And it was when Jesus spoke to her name, when he spoke her name, Mary. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Some would say, "Yeah, well, you know, Satan knows my name too. I've heard him call my name before too." Well, it's the truth. Satan does know your name, but he calls you by your sins. Jesus, he knows your sins, and he calls you by your name. "My sheep will know my voice, and they will follow me." Have you made your mind up? Have you made your mind up? If you've ever heard the Lord call your name, it will break your heart. It will shatter your soul, and you will never be the same. I pray you hear the Lord call your name. And I pray that you know he's written your name down in that book of life. If you've made up your mind, do you have expectations? Do you have assumptions? I know this about Jesus from my own experiences. Jesus will shoot down every preconceived notion that you have. Jesus will rearrange all of your thoughts and reveal his majesty and reveal his power. He will reposition all of your beliefs about who he is, who he was, what he will do, and what he is doing. When you encounter the living Jesus Christ, he will change you. He longs to reveal himself to you, like he did to Mary. Like he did to Mary. And then there's Peter. Then we come to Peter. Peter, well, he saw only the facts. That's the next slide. Peter saw only the facts. Well, in case you can't read that, it says, Fruit Loops are the same flavor despite their different colors. That's a fact. Does anybody remember Dragnet? Dun, 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 dun. Right? And Joe Friday, right? Right? These are the stories taken from the files of the Los Angeles Police Department, right? Joe Friday. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. This is how we can see Peter as he's kind of approaching the tomb. Even though John gets there first, he doesn't go in. Peter goes right into the tomb. Why? Because he's got to investigate. He's got to see it. He ain't leaving nothing left to chance. Peter making zero assumptions about anything. He's scouting for evidence. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. I only need the facts. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. Peter saw these things lying there, but he did not understand the facts. He did not understand what they had to say. He would be thinking, fact is, if somebody wanted to steal the body, they would have grabbed him and all of that linen and stuff and just taken the body, not leaving, listen to the words now, not leaving a shroud of evidence behind. He would have been confused about somebody stealing the body. There needed to be more clarification. There needed to be some kind of explanation to the complications and the things that he's witnessing and seeing. You know, we live in a very investigative, scientific kind of world. This age, there's, you know, a lot of belief in that science is supposed to have all the answers for us about everything. You know, now I know this, that even in the scientific community, we're having to rewrite everything we understood about being logical and how things fit together, even physics. The pandemic proved we are so unsure, as unsure as we've ever been. Maybe even more skeptical and more cynical. When I come to this kind of a point, I always think of Robert Ballard. Robert Ballard was the guy who discovered the Titanic. Remember the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean and all the beautiful pictures in the movies? Robert Ballard was a guy, an ocean explorer, and he discovered the Titanic. And I'm watching an interview with him, and the question was the Titanic the most important discovery that you've ever made? And he said, absolutely not. We discovered earth vents and organic tubular worms living miles down in the ocean, without light and without oxygen, with immense heat and tremendous pressure. It defies everything we understood about life. There's always something outside our rationale. There's always something outside our understanding. Well, physics, it's got to be, it's spot on. Oh, absolutely, except for maybe that quantum tunneling thing. When you apply that, then physics doesn't really, it falls apart. Well, astronomy's got it all together, right? It's spot on, and all the understanding we have of the movement of the star. Well, exactly, except for that dark matter. Well, the Big Bang Theory, well, that makes absolute sense of how things may have started. You know, hey, maybe even God said Big Bang, and then that's how it all started. Well, you know, all that fits together except, you know, for that retrograde planet rotation thing that's going on. It doesn't fit into your theory. It doesn't fit into your physics. It doesn't fit into your natural physical laws. I know maybe we're 98% right, but we ain't got it all right, baby. It's not 100% accurate. Don't you believe that it is? Because it's not. Can we even begin to understand that everything that we've understood, that has been taught to us, even about organic life, is wrong? It's wrong. We have to rewrite our testament, our textbooks for school. How do we do that? So we ask Robert Ballard. I don't know. I don't know how we do that, but if I went back to school, I have to give all the wrong answers to get an A. Everything we think we know is an open-ended question now. Because we learn more just adds more questions. Things have been uprooted and turned over. Not everything's 100% accurate. Everything we think we even know about God, Jesus just turned it upside down. Everything we thought we knew about God and how he moved and how he worked, he turned it upside down. Well, you know, we've always learned that life cannot exist without oxygen. Wrong. Wrong. Well, we always thought life could not exist without, you know, light. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. We thought, you know, life could not exist under that intense type of pressure. Wrong. It exists. On this planet, it exists. You know, we always thought life cannot exist beyond death. Wrong. Wrong. Peter saw all the facts as he knew them. He didn't quite know everything. He didn't quite understand everything. I know this about Jesus. He's not on the cross. I know this about Jesus. He's not in the tomb. I know this about Jesus. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and he is risen. Everything I thought I knew about God, I had to scrap. Everything I thought I understood about organic and physical laws and physical, I had to scrap. Everything I started to understand about physics, it only applies in certain circumstances and situations. If I apply it over here, it doesn't work. I understand time because I'm on the earth, but if I was somewhere else, time wouldn't apply the same way. We don't get it all. We can't grasp it all. We don't understand it all. I have an open mind to receive something new. How about you? Jesus is showing you something amazing, showing you something new, showing something about you, and making it very personal to you. Do you think you have all the answers? Think again. Is it possible that in your logic, just the facts, ma'am, that there's room for mystery? That there's room for the unknown? That there's room for the illogical? Mercy isn't logical. Grace doesn't make sense. Outside the parameters of your current understanding, outside the parameters of the physical law, living in your mother's womb, did you think that there would be life after delivery? Things about yourself that you never even dreamed of are. Things in your life that you never even in your wildest imagination could be are. Things that you never even thought about your spiritual life are. Sometimes the supernatural shows you things that are illogical, way beyond that which you would expect and assume, and that which you would gather as even fact. God would say, try forgiveness. God would say, have mercy. Maybe there's more to life than meets the eye. Maybe. Just maybe, there's more to life than quick assumptions. Maybe there's more to life than the natural laws. Maybe there's more to life than this physical body. Just the facts, man. Just the facts. And then there's John. Here's your next one. John saw a risen Lord. He saw something else. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. John saw and believed. John saw the same tomb Mary did. John saw the very same tomb Peter did. They both viewed the burial cloths that were lying there. But John saw something that the others had missed. John was maybe able to fit the pieces together, even though he did not have to hear Jesus' voice. Even though he did not have to see angels, he did not have to even rely on physical facts, he saw something that was out of the ordinary. He saw something that defied explanation. He saw something supernatural and mystical and magical. He saw something spiritual. He saw yet another miracle of Jesus. He had seen Jesus do many miracles before. He resuscitated Lazarus. Unbelievable what this man can do. He saw and he believed. People are going to hear about this resurrection. You're hearing about this resurrection today. You're hearing about this life and about this death. And listen, we're all going to have to process this. We're going to have to gaze into the tomb and draw a conclusion. You're going to have to draw and examine your own emotions. Many are going to have to do their own investigation. And they're going to see things from their own point of view. This life of Jesus, this death of Jesus, this resurrection of Jesus, you're going to have to draw a conclusion. Everyone will consider Christ. You have to look into the depths of the empty tomb and search your own hearts. And it cannot be based on a canon, cannot be based on a creed or a doctrinal policy. It must be based on your belief in Jesus Christ, the person Jesus Christ. What is your belief? What do you see when you gaze at an empty cross? What do you see when you think about an empty tomb? I see that there are promises that were made. I see that there are promises that were kept. God keeps all his promises. I see that there is a victory that is won, showing us that we can have victory over death, that death is not the end. There is life after death. Victory awaits the believer. Can I get an amen? What are you so afraid of? What are you so worried about? Death? Even in death, we have the victory. I'm going to turn our hearts towards communion. And I would pray that in these moments of remembrance of Christ and what he has done, that we would receive communion in remembrance of his life, his death, his resurrection. Not just who he was, but who he is. Not just what he had done, but that which he is doing. I'll invite the elders to come up. You don't have to be a member of this church to partake in communion. We only ask that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. And anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let communion today be how we call upon the name of the Lord in remembrance of who you are and what you're doing.